This is MJ. I'm an author, I'm an artist, I'm a Digimon analyzer. Find all my work at MJMuñoz.com. Get ready for a next level discussion of those monster friends for the boys and girls.
Digimon Paradox Chapter 2 by Ayuma Minato was pretty interesting. I liked a lot of stuff that went on in it. There was one thing I really didn't like in it. That is more of an aesthetic thing, and it's just, it's the risk, it's the danger of being a fan of anime and manga type stuff coming from Japan. It's just, it doesn't work for me sometimes. Let's just say somebody gets Evangelion, or somebody gets Raid, or Shinji. I don't know how you put that, but if you know those things, you get what I'm talking about. And anyway, it was interesting because it almost turned into like this slice of life type of thing, but then there's a battle in it too. So I didn't think I didn't think it was boring. I didn't think the pacing was bad. I was just surprised at how light the action was, and I was surprised at how it took this. It took this interesting time travel story, and it went ahead and slowed down on the time and then raced through some of the time as well, and it really gave the opportunity, I don't know if it's because it's a time travel story, or if it's because it's almost like this more slice of life thing, or exactly what it is, but it, you know, in fact gave these characters a lot of time to spend with each other, and it provides a lot of legitimate reason for them to have changed and have different feelings by the end of it than they do at the beginning of it, or from the ending of the last manga, because, like I said, months passed. But something interesting, though, that I don't know if I actually thought it was bad or if I just thought it was interesting, is that apparently they have been having no interactions with this Digimon or anything else. No real interactions with any wild Digimon, let's say. There's been no Digimon outbreaking and attacking or causing issues in the real world at all. And in order to get our one action scene, they decide to basically use a Digiport to travel from one area to another. They were traveling to Kyoto, and I don't know if they were literally traveling to Kyoto or if they were traveling within the network to Kyoto, and that's how they got in this place with all these Tori gates, where there's this really cool thing they do with the Tori gate to help them beat this Digimon, but which is Metal Greymon. I'm not trying to hide it. I just wanted to double check something. So yeah, the time passes about, you know, 3 months, or April, May, June. Over the course of April, May, June, the bulk of the story happens, or the bulk of, you know, their time together happens so far in this chapter. And in June is when they enter into the digital world, or into the net to travel, so that they can see the Tori gates, and Eve can see what, you know, the summer is like. So I feel like they're actually going to go out, pop out of a computer or a phone or whatever over there, and there's all sorts of network things that they could, you know, network connected devices that they could, you know, exit on. And it's cool they're traveling, like, it's cool that Mamoru Hosoda has had such an effect on Digimon that, you know, the our war game stuff, the way that they travel through the internet, that's just like the visual, it's part of the visual language of Digimon. So they're traveling through, and then they encounter this Digimon, have this fight after nothing's happened, and she's made no progress in getting her time machine back, or destroying this, you know, Digimon, the Digimon that supposedly is the source of the paradox, or that Reiji is hoping is the source of the paradox. But then they encounter this Metal Greymon, and they fight it, and it's really cool. Elecmon turns into a Dark Tyrannomon, which looks really cool, and there's a couple color splash pages for this fight. And when they have the opportunity to kill, well, it's funny, Kuwagamon says, like, look, I can kill you know, Dark Tyrannomon, he's digivolving weird, and this might be the cause of the problem. I can kill him right now. Just give me permission, Lady Eve, or just Eve. And she says, no, don't do it. And, you know, support them. And then eventually, they defeat the Metal Greymon, and then instead of killing it, she decides to have it frozen, because that's an option. They can freeze it and contain it, I guess, somewhere, somehow, with her weird built-in armband digivice thing that she has. And then later on, we see Elecmon recovering to a certain percentage. We see this read out on a computer screen, so he's recovering from a fight, it would appear. So that's all, you know, very interesting. We're getting to see, like, this more human side of Eve, and she's been humanized through spending this time with Wanya and Reiji, and I guess going to school, too. I guess that's helping her. We see her at school. We see her in her school uniform. We see her in her school uniform at a temple, or, yeah, it's a temple of some sort. It's very old-timey. It might be Kyoto, but I don't know for sure that it is. But I feel like they go there, they spend the time there, they do the festival stuff. She, like, gets a fish in a fishbowl. It's like a pet for her, I guess. she's disappointed at first that they can't eat it. But it's fine. They end up, you know, she ends up getting humanized, basically, through all these different circumstances. We don't get to see any more interaction with his sister, although she's the one that helped register her in the school and said she was a relative and stuff like that. Anyway, at the end, we get this kind of crazy revelation of this, you know, weird otaku, you know, Eva moment where he falls on top of her, and then she grabs his hand by the wrist and puts it on her breast so he can feel her heartbeat, which, by the way, I'm a married man. I've had to feel my wife's heartbeat from time to time. You don't have to grab a woman's breast to feel her heartbeat. In fact, that doesn't help you feel her heartbeat. And I hope that's not too gauche of me to say. But, like, you put it on, like, the middle, like, where you, like, do the Pledge of Allegiance if you're an American. Like, that's the kind of area where you feel the heartbeat, not, you know, on the breast. Like, it doesn't help. Anyway, looks great in the manga and anime, I guess, if that's your kind of thing. But it's not quite how that works. So, anyway. Just saying that for all you people who don't know, for all of you who've never known the touch of a woman, that's a little advice for you. So when a woman tells you to feel her heartbeat, don't grab her breast. Just put your hand in the middle of her. Anyway, I'm not cutting that out. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Anyway, so like that was weird. But then we get this revelation that she's an AI. But then again, it looked like in the past we saw her, because she's reflecting on her world, and this is what I meant to get to, and I got distracted looking at other stuff. No, not that. Other stuff. At the calendar scene. Anyway, it turns out, or there's very much this AI that look. There's a little girl who looks like a little Eve, and then we learn that she's an AI. So I don't know if she's an AI based on this little girl, if all the AI are based on certain people, or what. But it's interesting, she says the world is so messed up, so destroyed, that it never stops raining in the future, and, like, the global population is severely diminished because of Digimon being these weapons of war, and that's all really interesting and compelling, and it makes you feel bad for her, and Reiji has this great moment where he reflects, and he says, she's all alone in this era, like, she's completely isolated from everybody else, and me and you, Wanya, we're all she has, and, like, I genuinely want to help her. I don't just want to save your life, which I do, but I genuinely want to help her and help her fix the future and help her get back and have a happy life and a happy future there, which is really cool. Makes Reiji out to look really good. It makes her out to look like a very sympathetic character, but then again, there's this conflict of, is she an AI or was she a little girl, or, you know, is she based on her, or like, how does that all work? What does that mean when he's touching her heart? Is the ba-dump-ba-dump that we get at first his heartbeat because he's on top of this girl who's in her Hoochie Mama top again? Or what, and then when his hand is on her, there's no confirmation that he's feeling her heartbeat. We don't know that. It's not, that information is being withheld from us. That maybe we're supposed to assume that he's not, because she's an AI, she's maybe even like a robot type of person. I don't really know. And that's very interesting, very weird. But then they flash, like they show more detail, and there's this like apple symbol on her leg with like a number on it. By the way, it's apple number 4. You know, she's called Eve. There's this tree imagery. There's this weird large tree on the very first page that has all these, like, tubes connected to it. And those tubes have on them these apple, these, like, the tree logo with the apple with a Roman numeral on it. So she's number 4. It shows number 7, number 6, and number 2 talking to her. And then there's this mysterious guy who's probably going to be hunting them down next, and who's that, Adam? He supposedly had gone missing because everybody who'd gone into the past before Eve has gone missing and hasn't returned to the future. They haven't gone back to the future, and she's trying to be the first one to make it back to the future, and I'm thinking this is another time agent who went back and either died or maybe didn't come back because of, you know, weird complicated time travel stuff, and I guess he's going to oppose them. He seems to be the one that had the metal Tyrannomon. Maybe he's the source of the paradox. Maybe the paradox is that in trying to go back and stop the paradox from happening, they caused it to happen in the first place. I don't really know. But it's you know, interesting story so far. It's, you know, I'm liking it. I was thrilled when I saw her in the schoolgirl uniform, and I thought, oh, good, she's going to be wearing normal clothes. And then she went back to the abnormal clothes, so that's kind of a funny point. That's a sticking point for me. I'm sure everybody else is thrilled with it, but, you know, whatever. That's fine. But this, you know, whole idea, and I think this story has to end by part four, and I'm assuming part one and part two were about the same length as each other, so I would assume, I think they're all going to be kind of the same length. They have, like, a standardized format. I'm interested to see what happens with all this crazy time travel stuff, and with her humanity. Is she human? Is she not? How human is she? How human can an AI be? Is she based on a human? All that stuff. Like, how will that all play out, and how will that work with this other guy? And that all goes to help explain, like, why she was such a cold killer, and why she was willing to just kill one, and, like, it wasn't a big deal to her. It's not just that she's desperate to save her future because she's connected to it and she cares about it. It's because she, ironically, like, doesn't have the heart, and she gets the heart, and she gets that feeling throughout the course of the story. But I'm just wondering, like, there's the apple, there's the tree, she's called Eve, there's this guy, like, you know, is there, like, weird Adam and Eve? Like, are they all Adams for the men and all Eves for the girls? Or the women? Did I say men's? I meant men and women. Anyway, like, why are we getting this, you know, Adam and Eve stuff, like, you know, Ayumu Minato, I wonder, like, what the motivation is behind that. It feels kind of like it could just be, like, an Evangelion type thing, like, oh, I'm just going to use this imagery, it'll be really cool, and that's fine if it is, but if there's something more significant to it, I'd be curious to know what that is and what exactly that means. Yeah, I want to know what you think about it, too. Which Eve outfit do you like better? What do you think is going to happen in the future? What do you think is behind this imagery? And what else? Give me your feedback. I want to know.
I hope you enjoyed that. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe. I invite you to comment, ask questions, and share your thoughts with me. It's always more fun when you're part of the conversation. Until next time, shatter despair apart and show me your brave heart. Visit MJMunoz.com for more of my work and help me build up the Fortress Fiction.